Hi, and welcome to Kitty Talks, the podcast that shows you how to find and follow your purpose and build a life in alignment with your soul. I'm your host, Kitty Waters, a serial entrepreneur and coach, and I'm the founder of the Network for Transformational Leaders. The podcast shares inspirational life stories that empower you to create yours. Every week, I interview top thought leaders that share their life stories, giving you advice on how you can tune in to what you're really here to do. Please go to kittytalks.com and take the free Bliss Life audit and start creating a life you love today. Talks. We share inspirational life stories that empower you to create yours. And today I have a phenomenal guest for you. I have Daryl Anker. Daryl, welcome.
Thank you, Kitty. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, we are very excited. As I said, I met Daryl a year ago at an ATL Southern California event, and he spoke and he totally blew me away. And I knew that he was somebody that we really needed to get on our show. For those of you that don't know, Daryl is a writer, producer, and director, and his film First Contact is just out, and he will be telling us more about that in the interview. He's also a writer and has just written his first series of sci-fi books. Again, I'm going to ask him to share more information on that. But he's also known, very well known across the whole world, as the channel for the entity called Bashar. So Daryl, welcome to Kitty Talks. We are very excited to hear your life story today.
Thank you, Kitty.
So would you mind? Well, I know you've been doing this work since about 1983. So I'd love to know how you first, you know, transitioned. How does someone get into being a channel for a different entity?
Well, yeah, there's any number of ways, obviously. It depends on what kinds of, let's say, agreements a person has made in this life, or exactly what their penchant is or what they're attracted to, that usually sets up how they wind up doing something like channeling. But the first thing I think, before I get into the story, that I would like to really get people to understand, and it's one of the reasons we made the documentary, is to sort of demystify the concept of channeling. Mm-hmm. Channeling is a natural state. Everyone does it. And it really is when you're in that zone, when you're doing what you love to do, when you're completely immersed in something that just consumes you, you really are in the same kind of channeling state. And from there, it just depends on what you decide to do with it, how you decide to express it. But for me, it began actually in 1973, when I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings with witnesses with me both times. First time about 150 feet away, second time only about 70 feet away. I mean, very startling, up close, solid physical black equilateral triangle. And that began my journey in investigating what this was about, because obviously I had heard about UFOs, but, you know, when you see something like that, you know that the world is different than people have been telling you.
Huge wake-up call.
Yeah, I really needed to find out what was behind this. And that sort of led to an ongoing investigation, reading whatever books I could find. And
rabbit hole. Down the rabbit hole.
And just kind of like trying to figure out what was really happening in the world. But of course, one thing sort of led to another. I started finding information on different kinds of metaphysical topics, and eventually it led me to the Jane Roberts Seth books, which were channeled ostensibly by Seth, an entity, in spirit. And then I was introduced, 10 years after the UFO sighting, I was introduced to a channel who was conducting seminars. And I went to listen, and I thought, you know, this is interesting information. It seemed very helpful, constructive information. So after a few months of listening to that information, the entity actually offered to teach a channeling class. And I went into the class not because I thought it was going to be a channel. I just wanted to further my research because I didn't understand, kind of like you said, you know, how does somebody learn to channel? How does somebody teach you how to channel? I just thought it was something that sort of happened to you. And so I went into the class, which was a series of different kinds of guided meditations. And it wasn't really expected that you had to channel another entity. It was just to get you in touch with your own creativity, your own higher mind, other levels of your own consciousness to use however you wished. But about halfway through the course, which was 12 weeks long, I was in one of the meditative states being guided by the entity like the rest of the class. And in that meditation, I received what I can only describe as a kind of a telepathic hit, where suddenly all this information was just in my brain in about 1 second. I remembered having made an agreement to do this with Bashar before this life. I understood in that moment that the UFO had been shown to me on purpose to get me to start learning what I needed to learn to be able to do it, so that when the time came to do the channeling, because that was kind of what was in the telepathic message, was like, okay, now you remember you made this agreement and it's time to begin. Is this something you still want to do? I would be ready in order to move forward with it. But at that particular moment, I didn't know what was going on. I just thought, you know, am I hallucinating, or is this a side effect of the meditation, or what's going on here? Now, I wasn't telling anybody what was happening in my head, but the second that it did happen, the entity teaching the class stopped talking and turned right to me and said, there is someone here for you if you're ready to begin. And I happened to glance over behind me, and it appeared that one of the other classmates had also received an image of Bashar that I had in my head, and she was actually sketching his face on a piece of paper. So I automatically had two outside validations that this was more than my imagination. And I said, okay, you know, I understand enough about channeling to know that this can be something helpful and beneficial to people. So I thought, okay, I'll just see where this goes. And I kept practicing. And I did well enough that the teacher offered to allow me to co-channel with him in the next class. And eventually a woman came along who was doing the first doctoral thesis paper on the connection between psychology and channeling, and I became one of her subjects. So I would go to her house, I would channel for her friends, she would take her notes and write her paper. But these channelings happened once a week, and word started to spread. So, you know, you would have five friends the first week, then 10, then 20, then 30, then, you know, and pretty soon we had to do it twice a week to fit all the people. And then we had to start renting auditoriums. And then people started asking me if I would actually go to different cities and then different countries. And before you know it, here I am 34 years later, still doing this.
And has Bashar, I'm sure he has over the period of time that you've worked, has he explained why he chose you, or why did he talk about your soul contract?
Well, yeah, this can get a little bit complex for people that are not familiar with certain metaphysical concepts, but nevertheless, I can only kind of explain it one way. From a linear point of view, it's like saying he's a future incarnation and I'm one of his past incarnations. Therefore, in a sense, you're looking at the same soul in two different timeframes. And that's why it's the connection that exists, is because we are two different expressions of a larger entity. And therefore, this is just one of the things that this larger spirit or being has decided that it will do to help in the upliftment and transformation of humanity that's going on the planet at this particular time.
Wow. So it's almost like your soul is operating in two different lifetimes and it's connected?
Well, several. And we all have this. In other words, see, from Bashar's point of view, time being somewhat of an illusion actually means that everything and everyone actually exists simultaneously. And that we only think of things as the future and the past because of our particular point of view. Mm-hmm. But from Bashar's point of view and his civilization's point of view, they've kind of evolved to the point where their consciousness can actually perceive different time frames simultaneously, and hence he can communicate with what we would perceive to be a past self, because from his perspective, it's I exist at the same time that he does, and he exists at the same time that I do. It's just that we're on different frequencies that we typically refer to as different eras in time, but he doesn't see it that way. So he can do these kinds of things.
But I love the fact that he's obviously here to, like you said, he's here to help our humanity evolve and the information coming through.
Yeah, and it's also because there's a connection. There's actually, as he's described it, a genetic connection between our civilization and his. Okay. They're a hybrid race that, for people who are familiar with the idea of beings called greys and the whole alien abduction phenomenon and the idea that they might be creating a hybrid race between our genes and their genes, he has said they are actually one of the civilizations that is the product of that hybridization. So he considers us to be literally family. And thus, by helping us, they're helping themselves to expand their family and all the different kinds of experiences they can have in creation. In other words, the more the merrier.
Beautiful. And obviously, everything's interconnected. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I would love to explore a little bit more and go deeper on with you is it's a really simple philosophy, but I love it. And I remember you telling me or talking about it when we were in LA, and I really adopted it as a life principle. And that was always to follow your highest excitement.
Yeah, and you hear that a lot now, you know, in metaphysical circles, follow your bliss, act on your passion. The thing that I appreciate about Bashar and the way he talks about this is he renders what most people just sort of understand as a sort of a vague aphorism. He renders it into an actual pragmatic, physical, and practical set of tools to explain why that works. It literally is rendered into what he calls an instruction manual for how reality functions. And so he explains very clearly why it's important to act on your passion, because it has to do literally with who we are. In other words, it's a physical representation. It's a physical sensation that represents our inner frequency, our true essential frequency of being. And therefore, when we act on our passion, according to the way in which Bashar describes the instruction manual, he's saying you're really in alignment with yourself. And it's almost like having a compass needle pointing right to your own true magnetic north. It's the way to follow a path that is most aligned with who you are and is most representative of your purpose in being here. So, in other words, we're given this clue at that sensation of excitement, that sensation of passion, of creativity and love are really mostly who we are, what we're really all about. And we're given this clue to make it easier for us to follow the path that we chose to follow in coming here. But of course, different belief systems, fear-based belief systems, negative belief systems that exist on Earth will often deter us from following that path. And that's why in explaining it in very physical terms as to why it works and creating this instruction manual, it becomes as simple, as you said, as following an instruction manual for anything. Like if you were going to learn how to drive a car, you were going to learn how to operate a piece of machinery. If you just follow the instructions, the machine will work in exactly the way it's designed to work. And so in rendering the principles that he talks about down into this instruction manual, it really is as simple as going, what's step one, what's step two, what's step three, and getting the basic result of following those instructions in a very simple way. Right?
Yeah. And I think we're kind of educated out of it, aren't we, really? And we think almost too much, like, because in my own experience of following my bliss, or, you know, I really, when I came away from Southern California, I really practiced it, you know, and it was interesting to follow because it wasn't logical, you know, and obviously our intuition and our soul almost speaking to us isn't necessarily logical. And I think we've been educated into our heads.
Yeah, although again, when when you understand how he explains all the principles in the instruction manual, it actually does become logical. It seems illogical at first, but when you realize that he's actually describing the structure of existence and the nature of how reality works, it becomes as logical as anything you would do in physical reality. That's why it can work so powerfully for us, is it's not only a representation of something that functions from a higher level, it's being presented in a way that our physical, logical minds can also wrap themselves around. So it does contain elements of something beyond the physical, but it is grounded in a way that makes sense to us as physical beings, which is why it works, and why when people do apply the instructions in the way that he's unfolded them, they often come back to me. And this is one of the things that's so gratifying about doing the channeling, is people will come back and say, you know, when I finally understood very precisely what he was saying and how the instructions work and how the principles function, say, every time I now apply these things, I do get an effect. My life has changed for the better. It's just so much more joyful. It's so much easier. I understand how things are working. I understand more about who I am, what my beliefs are, how to sort of clean my attic of negative beliefs that really don't serve me, and only use the positive ones that move me through life. So when I keep getting that kind of feedback from people, I know that the principles do work, very simply, once people truly understand what they're all about.
When I was doing my research for this interview, I was obviously looking at different sites. And, you know, when you're talking about the principles, I saw that he talks about excitement as a compass, and how you're totally aligned with you, because it's totally aligned with your soul and it's effortless. And then obviously the universe supports you. So when you talk about principles, where can people find these principles? How can they adopt this?
Well, I mean, I've been doing this channeling for a long time, almost 34 years now. And there are hundreds and hundreds of CDs and DVDs on all of the things that Bashar has talked about. And they can be found at the website bashar.org. That's BASHAR.org. So any information anyone wants to know about any of the seminars that Bashar has conducted, any of the information that he has transmitted to us, they can go there and find it.
Mm. But in short, basically, in any given moment, people need to act on their highest excitement.
It's the most important thing. And again, I apply it in my life, and you see it, you know, it just works. It just does. You have to get everything correct. You have to understand the principles very clearly and apply them very precisely, but it does work, and it's not that difficult to do. Again, it just really comes down to understanding that it is an instruction manual, understanding that it is a description of how we create reality here. And therefore, you know, knowing it always actually does work. It's just that it'll work for us positively, or it'll work for us negatively, because let's say the machine of existence itself doesn't really care which way we use it. It's like, you know, you can drive a car carefully or you can drive a car recklessly. So the car doesn't care. It's just up to you to decide how to guide it. So the machine is always working. The instruction manual is just basically telling you how to get it to work for you in a positive way, instead of holding on to negative beliefs and fear-based beliefs that feed the machine and get it to work and reinforce the negativity in your life instead of the things that you would prefer to experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember reading that he talks about focusing on your next step, always act on your highest excitement to the best of your ability, but with no assumption on the outcome.
You have to have zero insistence on what the outcome should look like, because our physical minds are kind of limited. The higher mind understands what it is that really needs to happen next that will serve us best. The physical mind often will not really be able to comprehend what that's supposed to look like. So it's not that people can't visualize an ideal outcome. Of course they can. But if they insist on it, they may actually be blocking something better. Mm-hmm. Because what to the physical mind may seem to be the ultimate outcome, to the higher mind is just the beginning. And the higher mind is actually capable of delivering something far better than the physical mind possibly could have imagined. So to insist that the outcome has to look a certain way is actually placing a limitation on ourselves and possibly preventing something better from happening than our physical mind was actually capable of imagining.
Well, and I suppose that lack of attachment effectively.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the visualization is great. You can use those tools, you can have goals and so on and so forth. The idea really behind doing that is not so that the way you've pictured it has to manifest. Mm. The reason to do that is because that's a symbol that represents an ideal outcome that gets you excited. So the sole purpose of visualization, of having a vision, is to get you in the state of excitement. That means you're aligned with your higher self, your true self, and then dropping the picture, but staying in the state of excitement allows the higher mind to fill the space that you just made and bring you what actually needs to happen next without your picture getting in the way. Mm-hmm. So the picture is just to pump you up and be in the correct state to receive whatever the higher mind needs to give you. Whereas if you insist on that picture that your physical mind has created, you're kind of blocking the higher mind's ability to actually deliver what it needs to deliver to you that would actually serve you best. Now, people get confused because sometimes the thing that happens next may actually be something you don't prefer. But the point is there's always a way to use it in a way that you do prefer. And if for some reason something manifests that you don't prefer, the first thing you need to do to stay in a positive state is know that that had to have happened for a reason that will serve you. And if you stay in that state, you will see how that actually does serve you by having shown up in your life. Whereas if you just think, well, this happened and now something's wrong, I didn't do it right, or it's representative of the fact that I'm a bad person, or what's it trying to tell me? You're missing the point that there is something here for you to give you an opportunity to learn something that will actually progress you in life in the most powerful and the quickest possible way. So just to put this in the most simple terms, if something shows up that you don't prefer, mm-hmm. at the very least, one positive way to use that is to recognize that we will often attract things into our lives that we don't prefer, if for no other reason than to illustrate to ourselves more clearly by contrast what we do prefer. So using what we don't prefer to more clearly understand what we do prefer mm-hmm. is a positive way to use what we don't prefer. And as soon as we use it that way and glean the lesson from it and gain clarity from it, it'll go away because it served its purpose. And it can move on to the next thing more quickly.
So almost adopting the belief that life is happening for us, not
against us. And it's not happening to us, it's happening through us.
Yeah.
So it's just a reflection of what we're giving off. And again, it doesn't always mean that it's a one-to-one reflection. So you see something you don't prefer, you go, well, like I said, oh, well, that must mean that I'm a bad person or something. No, it's there as an opportunity to teach us something. And if we use it that way, we will move forward that much more quickly because that was the purpose it showed up for. Whereas if we deny that it belongs in our lives, that it's there for any good reason, we're actually making it stick around longer because we're not getting the point that it's there for a reason. Yeah. And we're not using it up. We're making it stick around and making things go more slowly because we refuse to believe that there is any good reason why something like that could happen in our lives. But there always is. There always is.
Absolutely beautiful. And I suppose our brain is then looking for that reason. If we're looking for an empowering meaning, our brain... Yeah,
we just don't always recognize the sign because we have a preconceived notion about what the sign is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, why Bashar is saying we have to absolutely drop all assumption and insistence as to what the outcome is supposed to look like, because we will often fool ourselves into thinking it's supposed to look a certain way because we've been taught that that's the way it's supposed to be. And very often it has to be very unexpected and come to us from a completely different direction to get us out of our normal patterns, which is the whole idea.
Mm. And talk to me about synchronicity, because
synchronicity is one of the tools in what Bashar calls the kit of excitement. In other words, when you act on the first three-part formula, you follow your passion, you do it to the best you're able to, you can do it no further, and you do it with no insistence or assumption. It's the outcome.
Yeah.
Basically, what he's saying is it opens up this toolkit that automatically exists in excitement. And the primary tools are, number one, your passion becomes the driving engine in life. It moves you through life. You can't wait to get up and do something because you're so excited. So it becomes the energy and the driving passion that moves you through life. But tool number two is synchronicity. And it's the organizing principle. Now, again, you can have positive synchronicity. You can have negative synchronicity. Synchronicity is always functioning, but it depends on what you put into it that determines what you get out of it. So by staying in your passion, it becomes the organizing principle that will actually bring you the situations and opportunities you need in exactly the order in which you need to act on them, so that you will know, well, this has got to be number one because it has more excitement than any other option. Then this has got to be number two because I'm done with that one. And now this has more excitement than any other option. And then this has got to be number three for the same reason. And you're following the thread of excitement through your life, not the form in which it comes, because the form, it can be anything. A lot of times when excitement comes to you synchronistically in a certain form, it doesn't mean that that form has to actually come to fruition or manifest. Many times, because we're so resistant to following our passion, your excitement sometimes will have to come in a way that is just only for the purpose of getting you to move.
Moving you onto the right path.
Action. Mm. Right. So you will then wind up in the place that you need to be for what really needs to happen to happen. But that's, again, why you have to drop the assumption as to why it's there that way. But if you just keep following that thread, it will lead to every other expression of excitement that's relevant for you to experience in life. And that's another tool, is all the excitement is connected to every other expression of excitement. And it will contain an ability to act on all expressions of excitement in your life by leading you exactly where you need to be led, when you need to be led there, again, through synchronicity. Another tool is that it becomes the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. Your life takes on an effortless quality where things just magically kind of, you know, start to pop up and you start to act on those opportunities. And it's effortless, again, because you are doing what you enjoy doing. So it doesn't feel like work. I'm not saying you don't actually take an action. I'm not saying you don't expend some effort, but it doesn't feel like that because you're so happy doing what you're doing. It doesn't matter how hard you might be working. The next tool is that it brings you whatever form of support you need in life in order to keep doing your excitement. Because from Bashar's point of view, abundance is really just the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. That can come in many forms. It can come in the form of money, but it can come in the form of a gift. It can come in the form of synchronicity. It can come in many forms. So again, insistence on only one form or one expression of abundance is what slows everything down, because that one form may not be the best form or the best way or the path of least resistance to be able to do what you really need to do and get where you need to be. The next tool is that it is a complete kit. It leaves absolutely nothing out that's relevant in your life, not one thing. It is designed around you. It knows exactly what's important and what's relevant for you to experience in your life, and it will not leave one thing out that is truly crucial for you to allow yourself to be who you really are. The final tool in the kit, it is the reflective mirror. And that means that it reveals to you as you're going on acting on your passion, it reveals anything that's a belief within your unconscious mind that might be out of alignment with your passion. Because the idea is to identify those things that are making you out of alignment, those definitions and beliefs that we've been taught that don't work for us, and to bring it to your attention so that you can let it go and add that energy to your momentum of excitement. So again, you can propel yourself through life, but you need to find out what the resistances are within you that are usually the product of some form of a definition that we've been taught or a belief that we've been taught to buy into. Once you have all of those tools working for you in a positive way, the only thing you have to do, like I said before, is stay in a positive state no matter what the result is of the action that you took, knowing that whatever it is that manifested is there to serve you. And if you stay in that state, you will be able to see eventually how that thing coming into your life did serve you. Mm-hmm. Because you see, another principle that Bashar talks about is and this is really just a physics principle, you cannot perceive what you're not the vibration of. So if you don't stay in a positive state, you're not even capable of imagining how an opportunity could serve you. In fact, you may not even be capable of seeing the opportunity because it'll just be invisible to you because you're not in the proper vibrational frequency to be able to even perceive the opportunity that is right in front of your eyes. So staying in a positive state and giving the thing that manifests a positive meaning for being there, a positive reason for being there, even if it's what you don't prefer, will allow you to extract a beneficial effect from it that will allow you to move on. That, in a nutshell, from the formula to the tools to that response, is the instruction manual. Now, he can get more detailed about the different elements of it, but that is essentially what he's saying is all we need to do to move through life in the most powerful, self-empowered, positive way that we can. That's the entire instruction manual right there in a nutshell.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I will be watching this over and over and again.
Yeah. So a lot of what Bashar talks about then is really just refinements on these ideas to help us figure out what our definitions are that are blocking us and how to let them go. So all of the other work that he does is just a more precise way of understanding what all the elements are that he's describing in this instruction manual so that we have a very complete understanding of it and can use it in the most effective way.
And the other thing I'd love you to just expand a little bit more is around fear and anxiety, because that was fascinating for me that actually is excitement.
It's not excitement in the sense that what the effect feels like, but it's from the same energy.
Right.
In other words, we are one energy. We're a 100% energy. You experience your own energy as excitement when you are filtering that energy through positive belief systems that are in alignment with who you are. You experience the same energy as fear and anxiety when you filter it through negative belief systems that are out of alignment with who we are. So really, having something feel fearful or being anxious about something is our first clue to let us know that we're holding on to something unconsciously that doesn't work for us. So the way to use fear and anxiety in a positive way, to make fear your friend, is to recognize that it's kind of a messenger telling you, hey, there's something here within your unconscious mind that you're unaware of, and it's something you want to know about. It's something you want to find out about, and you want to let it go. So it's more like, well, thank you, fear, for letting me know, because I wouldn't otherwise have known. You see, the way Bashar has explained it is that these emotions can't exist in a vacuum. There is no such thing as having a feeling if you don't have a definition first. If I gave you a word and you didn't know the definition of that word, and I asked you, how do you feel about it? You wouldn't know how to feel because you have no definition. But if I give you the definition, it's something that then can start to evoke a feeling in you, an emotion from you. So all the emotions we have are the result of something we already define or believe to be true. And therefore, when we feel something, we can acknowledge that and we can own it, because you can't change it if you don't own it. You can't deny it or gloss it over. But there is a way to use the emotion to backtrack and figure out, well, if I'm feeling fear, what would I have to believe is true about myself in this situation in order to generate that feeling? And that's the beginning of the honest self-investigation that will discover what the definition is you've been holding on to unconsciously so that you can bring it to light. And once you bring a negative definition to light, more often than not, you will find that it is something you picked up from your parents, your friends, your school, your society. And it really has nothing to do with you and who you truly are. It has more to do with the people that gave you that definition. It's their issues, not your issues. But you bought into them as a child because you had to, because you didn't know any better. But as an adult now, you realize it's time to let go of things that were other people's issues that have nothing to do with whatever it is you need to be exploring in life. So using your emotion to figure out what those definitions are and bring them to light, you will usually find that once you expose a negative definition, a fear-based definition, to your conscious mind and realize what it is, it will suddenly appear to make no sense. It'll be illogical. And as soon as it appears to make no sense, it's gone. That's the end of the process of letting it go. Now, if you keep doing the same thing and keep behaving the same way and haven't changed, that again is simply your first clue that you haven't actually found the fundamental definition, and you just need to keep looking until you do.
So to give a kind of practical example, say somebody has a fear of public speaking, what you're essentially saying is it's just the filter and the lens that they're looking at it through, or they've picked up.
Yeah. Well, they need to ask themselves, and this is where Bashar can get very kind of inventive, because he knows there's a number of ways to ask this question about, you know, what do I have to believe is true about myself in order to feel the way I do? He says, look, you people are so used to feeling fear.
Yeah.
Why not use the fear to find out what that answer is? In other words, turn the question around and say, all right, well, if I did do the thing that I think would excite me, what am I afraid might happen if I did that?
Yeah.
That will usually reveal the fear, because let's say, to use your example, okay, fear of public speaking. Well, most people in general will say, well, if I did actually go ahead and do it, because I know it would be beneficial for me to do this public speaking event, what am I afraid might happen? Well, I'm afraid I might get something wrong. I'm afraid I might look foolish. I'm afraid of what people will think of me. I'm afraid they will think I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, it just goes on and on. And suddenly when you ask the question that way, you come up with all sorts of negative definitions that just start popping out. And then that gives you a chance to really examine them and see how illogical a lot of them are. Because what I've learned in public speaking, since not only do I do the channeling, but I also do public speaking as myself on a lot of these principles, is the first thing you understand is people are there because they want to hear what you have to say. They're interested in what you have to say. And they're very, actually quite forgiving about, you know, little pauses, mistakes, little thoughts. I did an exercise once some time ago where a lot of people did something that was videoed as a little public speaking event. And while you were doing it, you might have felt yourself, you know, hesitating and trying to think, and am I saying this right? And all these big pauses, and, you know, you just don't think you're delivering the information properly. But when you look back at the video, you don't see any of that. Mm. In fact, you see what you see from professionals. They just look like little pauses where you're taking a moment to think about the next thing to say, and nobody cares, and nobody really pays attention to that. They're really so interested in what you have to say, and they're so supportive of you being there, primarily also because they don't want to be in your shoes. They don't want to be up there, so they're very happy that you are and telling them what it is you're telling them. So you really actually, when you stand in front of an audience, maybe you don't know it at first, but you really actually have a lot of support from the audience to really just be yourself and share whatever it is that you're excited to share, because that's what they're there to find out. That's why they want you to talk up there. So when you start really examining what's going on energetically,
they're irrational things.
Yeah, in you and the audience, it really just flips everything around, and you just can let all of that worry go and just say, look, I'm talking about this because I'm excited about it. And primarily, you have to kind of not care whether anyone gets anything out of it or not. Because the whole point of acting on your passion is not to act on your passion because of what you think it'll get you. You act on your passion for its own sake. Because when you start acting on your excitement because of what you think it's supposed to do for you, where it's supposed to take you, what you think the outcome is supposed to be, you're putting those assumptions and conditions and insistences upon it because you think it's supposed to be something more than it actually has to be. Just acting on it for its own sake is enough, because you will just be an example to everyone, a living example of how they can act on their passion too. And if somebody doesn't want to get what you're talking about or what it is you have to share, then they're not your audience anyway, and you can't convince them of anything. So all you need to do is just be yourself and say what it is you need to say that it excites you to say, because the people that want to receive it will receive it, and they are your audience, And that's all you really need to care about, is the ones that need to get it will get it, and the ones that don't need to get it won't. Mm. And that's not your problem, and it's not your business that they should or shouldn't get it. It's just your business to be who you are, and that's the end of it.
Mm, fantastic. I love that. It's brilliant. So no excuse, people. You heard it here. You've got no excuse now. You've just got to get on and act on your highest excitement on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, we create all sorts of excuses and reasons for ourselves based on our fear-based beliefs. And that's really all they're based on, is we just have these definitions that are really, in most cases, not actually very realistic. We think they are because we see examples of them happening to other people. But that, again, is just the result of the fact that those people are going in with fear-based beliefs instead of just being who they are. Because when you see people that are really acting on their passion, it doesn't matter to them what other people think of them. And it doesn't affect their ability to move forward based on what other people think of them. They understand that they don't have to reach everyone. They just understand that they just need to be themselves. And by doing so, they will reach everyone that is open to being reached. And that's the only people you can reach anywhere. So it really doesn't matter. Just be yourself.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful advice. Yeah, perfect. Well, literally, you've taken any excuse anybody could ever have out of it. It's just be yourself, and the people that are supposed to hear you, you're supposed to be serving, and the people who aren't supposed to see get you.
And it's more fun that way, you know, and it just is. It's just a much more enjoyable life. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, okay, when I say, you know, you can't care what other people think, I'm not talking about being callous. I'm not talking about being cold. Certainly, you can always decide that if somebody says something to you, you can decide, okay, you know, is that good advice for me? Is that something I need to pay attention to? Of course, you can always do that. All I'm really saying is it's your decision to decide whether what someone else is saying has any bearing on what's true for you or not. So you can say, well, you know, thank you for your suggestion. Thank you for your perspective. I have looked at it and decided that is either something that does serve me and I will take your words to heart, or I've decided that that's not really true for me right now, but thank you for your suggestion and move on. It's as simple as that.
Wonderful. And I want to come on to the film, Daryl, because yes. I'm very excited. So obviously First Contact is now out.
It is on several platforms. It's on iTunes, it's on Amazon, it's on Vimeo, it's on Fastspring, and for DVDs, it's on Trepstar. And if people are interested to find out what the whole story is of how I became a channel, who Bashar is, what channeling is all about from my perspective, we absolutely invite them to watch the documentary. And you can go to whatisfirstcontact.com and go to click on the buy button in the menu. And you'll be taken to a page that will show you all of the different platforms. You can click on whatever you prefer. That will be available wherever you are worldwide, mostly internationally. The easiest downloads would probably be either Vimeo or Fastspring and Trepstar for DVDs. I think iTunes and Amazon are at this point mostly for US, Canada, and Japan.
Okay.
But we do have the film subtitled in several different languages. Japanese, German, Dutch, Czech, Spanish, Estonian, Bulgarian, Russian, Chinese. So it's available all over the world on those platforms, and definitely we're excited to bring it to people as a new perspective on what channeling is all about. And it also acts potentially as an exploration and an examination of what kind of impact we might expect our society to experience if we actually do have open contact with extraterrestrial intelligence. So we've tried to cover a lot of different ground in it, and we hope that people will find it fascinating.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. I really look forward to watching it. And then just tell us a little bit, because obviously you are a published author as well. You've been working on some sci-fi trilogies.
Yeah, I love sci-fi. I love sci-fi. And the sci-fi trilogy is it's not literally based, but it's peripherally based on one of the entities that I have channeled, a female in the future called Hilla Chrissing. And it's really sort of her story, but a lot of it's been dramatized because, again, it is a sci-fi book, just taking its cue a little bit from some of the things that she has said about her life in the future on Earth. But the series is called Shards of a Shattered Mirror. The first book in the series, of which there will be five, is called Cryptic. And it's really about her journey in going through what she calls the five levels of mastery. I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, you could say it's like a sci-fi female Harry Potter. Cool. In terms of her developing her abilities and her skills and coming to terms with the things going on in her reality that she is called upon, probably a little too early in life to deal with, but nevertheless has the ability to stand, you know, stand up and be counted with some things that help what's going on the earth at that time. And that can be found on my own personal website, darrylanka.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Anka, A-N-K-A.com. And you can purchase the book there. And also by subscribing, you can get updates on the next books coming out, because there will also not only be the next four in the series, but there'll be other sort of spin-off books from that and other projects that I'm working on. And you can get updated first by subscribing at darrylanka.com. And on Zia Films, which is our production company for films, we also have another film there called Dearly Departed. So if you want to go and explore something that has to do with the afterlife and information that's based on near-death experiences, we sort of made this film like a documentary by pretending that we took a camera into the afterlife and communicated with the spirits to find out their take on life after death. So it's a kind of a fun and also touching exploration of the idea of what may happen to us after we die. That's called Dearly Departed, and that is also at ziafilms.com, C-I-A-F-I-L-M-S. That's the production company that I operate with my wife, Erica. And they can find out all the other things that we're doing there as a production company as well.
Wonderful. And we, for all everyone listening, we're going to have all of Darryl's details in the show notes. So if you've missed any of that, don't worry. We'll have all the details for you to find him and connect with him. But I just want to say a massive thank you, Darryl. I thoroughly enjoyed that interview and talking to you. And I know what you shared will be so valuable for our listeners.
Well, thank you, Kitty, like I said, for providing the opportunity. I mean, you know, the more that this kind of information can be communicated, the easier it is to find the people that are interested in it. And so I really appreciate you providing a platform for this. Thank you so much.
And we will see you again with another amazing guest on Kitty Talks next week. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to Kitty Talks. Be sure to head over to our kittytalks.com website. Become a member of our exclusive club and you'll get free interviews and access to our private Facebook group. Exclusive webinars and secret success interviews. See you there.